Appreciate the prayer this morning and ask your continued interest in your prayers. All the things going on in the world today, if we're not thinking the way we should, we can get discouraged, can't we? We can get cast down. We can get worried. Just a lot of things that can affect us. We can feel helpless and hopeless. And it so easily reminds us that we're so limited in what we can do. But you know what Elder Ferris used to say, when you get to that point, you're not in bad shape, you're in good shape. Because when you're reminded of your weakness, hopefully it'll remind you of God's strength. We're limited, but He's not. We may feel hopeless, but He's not. God can do whatever He will. You know, Psalm 115, verse 3, our God's in the heavens, and He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. And He's still doing that today, isn't He? And so as we think about that difference, as we think about how we can be cast down and discouraged, but our God is never discouraged. And so when we get to those places, there's a lot of things that we wish were different. And a lot of times we want to do something to make something different. This morning, if the Lord would bless us, I want to speak about what we can do in a time like this. And it's more along the lines of what God can do, but we know that God can do all things. That's according to His will. Okay? But what can we do? I mean, He's not left us without things to do. And so when we think about what we can do, and sometimes we realize that there's things that we try to do or want to do to make things different. I want to notice several passages in Scripture to kind of introduce this and lay a foundation. Sometimes there have been some people that have tried to do some things that they felt like they wanted to do, and it wasn't what God intended to be done. You ever been guilty of that? You know, the faithful record of God's word shows us that there have been those who have thought they were doing the right thing, but it wasn't what God would have them to do. All right? So first of all, I want to go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, wonderful chapter, several passages there that we speak about often. But we find that in Matthew 16, down around verse 21, Jesus began to tell His disciples what was going to happen to Him. That He would go to Jerusalem, that He would suffer many things at the hands of the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, that He would suffer those things. And do you remember how Peter responded to that? Peter said, "Not so, Lord." Time out. You know, COVID-19 is not the only thing that people get infected with sometimes. Contrary to what a lot of folks would like to tell you nowadays, sometimes God's people get infected with stinking thinking. I think Zig Ziglar made that expression popular. But sometimes we're just not thinking like we should. Right? And the Lord was telling pure truth to His disciples. This is what's going to happen. It even went so far as not only to say that He was going to suffer many things at the hand of the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, but He was also going to be killed and rise again the third day. Now, how wonderful is that? That we understand that though Jesus died, He rose again, He's alive forever, we can rejoice in that forever. And we will, by the grace of God. But Peter was infected here. He said, not so, Lord, for this shall not be unto thee. Can you imagine? Can you imagine somebody telling Jesus, what you just said is not right? I mean, I think that's the highest of human arrogance, is to think that they can rebuke the Lord. But that's what Peter did. Do you think we could be is possible that we could be infected with that kind of thinking? Absolutely. Do you think it's possible that we could commit such an error like that? We could, if we're not thinking right. Kind of important, isn't it? So Peter said, not so, Lord, for this shall not be unto thee. Well, what are the consequences of that not happening? If that doesn't happen, Jesus wouldn't go to the cross. He wouldn't arise from the dead. You'd still be in your sins with no remedy. That's a pretty important point. For Peter to say not so. Now we understand. I mean, I don't think it takes too much to realize that he was having an emotional reaction to Jesus having to suffer at the hands of men and for the very thought of them putting him to death. I'm sure that was where Peter's coming from. Well, it doesn't matter. He rebukes the Lord and said, this shall not be unto thee. Do you know how Jesus responded to that? You remember? Get thee behind me, Satan. He labels that kind of thinking right where it should be. It's the devil that denies the word of God. It's the devil that would cause us to think otherwise than what the Lord would have us to think. He's not calling Peter the devil, but those words that he was speaking was coming straight from the devil. Get thee behind me, Satan. And then he tells him why he just said that. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Peter, you're just saying something that you feel and not what the truth of God supports. And how often does that happen in this world today? It's a huge problem. It's a huge infection. We've got to keep our thinking biblical. We've got to keep our thinking where it should be, on the Word of God, and because God is the one that tells us what's right and what's wrong. End of discussion. It doesn't matter how we feel about something. What God says is right. And it doesn't take much thinking to realize that's a huge problem in our culture today. It's gotten into our government, hasn't it? You see, there's lots of things that God has ordained. God has ordained government. And when government is working like it should, it's a blessing to us. It provides for our safety. It provides so many good things. But when it doesn't work like it should, hello, that's a problem, because they're making decisions for us. We still, at least for a while, have a representative form of government, and they're making decisions for us that affect us. In a sense, they're speaking for us. That's not a good thing when they're not savoring the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. That is a huge problem. We need to get rid of that stinking thinking, right? All right? Now, we could dwell on that a lot, but thankfully, if you keep reading in the scriptures, thankfully you'll find the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe it's verse 10, he talks about, but the God of all grace, which hath called us unto glory and virtue, after you've suffered a while, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Thankfully, we have record. Now, Peter learned from that. By the way, Jesus also would tell Peter eventually, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. So we find that Peter gave us, of course, the scriptures are of the inspiration of the Spirit, and so what Peter's writing there, being by the inspiration of the Spirit, when he says establish, strengthen, settle you, then it helps us to understand that Peter is telling us that what we need is not emotional responses to the things in life, but to be grounded in the Word of God and to trust God and to be settled in our confidence that God will do what's right and that we're safe in His care, among other things that He's telling us there. But thankfully, we have that record in the Word of God that Peter showed forth more wisdom later on than he did when he spoke and said, not so, Lord, for this shall not be unto thee. Now that was just some of that stinking thinking that came out by emotional response. All right? We need to learn from that, don't we? We need to realize that our response to the afflictions that we face in this life and situations that arise needs to be a biblical response. That's how we let our light shine. That's how the world sees that we understand the truth, that we're walking according to the truth, and we're reflecting that by our choices in this world. That's when we honor God. Not when we base our statements by emotion and come out with something that's contrary to the Word of God. Because you see, that's what Jesus was saying when he said, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. In other words, you're putting too much priority on what you feel and what you think instead of what God has said is going to happen. Because Jesus is God. All right? And so we find that there was a situation where we find that that kind of thinking was not right, and Jesus pointed it out very quickly. So, what did it take then for Peter to go from that kind of thinking to where he should have been? Do you think, with him growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, would you think that him being more settled in the will of God, the purpose of God? Would you think that maybe a deeper worship of who Jesus really is, deeper appreciation of who he really is, a deeper appreciation of God's truth, deeper worship? Do you think that would have helped his thinking? I say yes, it would have. All right, let's move on. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we have the situation where Mary and Martha have the tremendous privilege. I mean, think about this now. During the short time that Jesus went through his ministry, 3.5 years, just think of how many people had the privilege of Jesus being in their home. And this wasn't an only, you know, this wasn't a one-time thing. He was close to them. But you remember the situation between Martha and Mary. Okay? Martha was cumbered about many things. She was busy doing this and that. She was serving, which is an honorable thing. But in view of the fact that there was just this small window of opportunity that Jesus was going to be there, and considering who Jesus is, that, I mean, listen, if you're going to talk about honored guests, there can't be any more honored than that. And what's Martha doing? She's busy doing this, busy doing that, busy doing that, even to the point of asking Jesus, tell my sister to help me. tell my sister to help me be busy and do this serving. Right? Now, let's, you know, I want to balance this. I mean, some of those things are necessary. But Jesus did not tell Mary to help Martha. Do you remember what he said? Martha, Martha. And I know he said it in a lot of love and tenderness. Martha, Martha. Thou art troubled and cumbered about many things. Careful, I guess it is. About many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. Where was she? She was at Jesus' feet, listening to his words. She was worshiping. And Martha was serving, but in such a way that she was all frustrated about it. You ever gotten frustrated doing good things? You think it'll ever happen again? It could. Well, something must be wrong if we're doing a good thing and we're frustrated. Now, I'm not saying everything's going to always go right. You know that's, you know life's not like that. But what I'm saying is, Martha was frustrated. She even went to the Lord and asked for him to get her sister to help her. And he pointed out, wait a minute. Mary had chosen the good part. And he didn't leave it there. He said, which shall not be taken away from her. That sounds important to me. If we're going to choose the good part, God will honor that. I'm satisfied there was time later for some of that serving. I'm satisfied some of those other things could have waited until Jesus was finished teaching. There's that stinking thinking again, though. And Martha was all frustrated about the way things were going. Can we learn something from that? Now, I'm not saying leave off all that other stuff, but I'm saying when there's opportunities for worship, worship. And we have opportunity, not just Sunday morning, but you know there's times when we need to avail ourselves to reading the Word of God. You know, when Jesus gave us the model prayer and the example of it, he says, when thou hast entered into thy closet and shut thy door. Well, if you've got a place where you can shut the door and separate yourself from the world, that's fine. But it doesn't require those physical restrictions. But it does require that you give it your attention. It does require that you give it your devotion. It does require that you shut out the world and take the time to worship like you should. Amen. Doesn't take all day long, but take some time for worship. All right? So there was another time where Martha wasn't thinking quite like she should have been. All right? Now, in Mark chapter 9, we just had the account of the transfiguration. What a wonderful thing. And I could go into some things that Peter said on that occasion, but I won't get into that right now. Time's getting away. But after that, when they came down from the mount, there was a man that had brought his son to the disciples or the apostles. And the son, from time to time, was overcome with this spirit that would cause him to go into these, can't think of the word I'm looking for, seizures and spasms and things like that. And so the man brought his son to the apostles to cast this demon out, cast this spirit out. And they could not. And so he comes to Jesus. When Jesus arrives on the scene, he comes to Jesus. And he explains the situation. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. That's an intriguing statement, isn't it? But the man responds, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. The Lord brings up a situation here about unbelief and it hindering answers to prayers. So my question is, how often do you think we perhaps have been guilty of a measure of unbelief? Maybe giving up too soon on something. You know, it's hard to speculate. It's dangerous to speculate. But the Lord brought this up. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. And to believe it. And the man said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. And here's my point. When we're guilty of thinking other than we should, when our trust is not like it should be, there appears from Jesus' words, there appears that sometimes we may give up too soon. Now, again, I'm getting into speculation. I'm getting into areas where we just have to submit ourselves to God's will at times. All right? But he made that point. And the man said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I believe what he's doing is pointing us to deeper commitment, deeper worship, and still submitting ourselves to God's will. But evidently, from these words, evidently there was something lacking here. And the Lord pointed it out, as he always does. He always goes straight to the heart of the matter. And so, I know myself. I know there's times that I've given up too soon. You know, I don't know. That's a hard one. That's one that it just, you know, you can't say, well, if I'd have done this, this would have happened. You can't say that. But we do know whether or not we're trying to humbly seek God's will above savoring the things that be of men. There was a time there where he pointed that out. All right, let's go on to something else. The Apostle Paul. Oh, well now, Paul was such a learned brother. Surely, his thinking couldn't have been wrong, could it? Surely his thinking never got into anything that we're subject to. Paul was a man. As a matter of fact, at one time we knew him as Saul of Tarsus. And he barely thought he was doing God's will when he was going about persecuting the church. But what I want to draw your attention to, you'll find it over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. When he talks about that thorn in the flesh, remember that? And this is not Saul of Tarsus now, this is Paul the Apostle. That Paul's been through a lot by now, and he has this thorn in the flesh. Now, I've heard a lot of speculation about what that thorn is. And where I'm going to leave that is, since the Lord doesn't specifically tell us what it was, then I'm just not going to, you know, I can't say emphatically what it is. I have my persuasion about the matter. And my persuasion about the matter is that Paul had persecuted the church more than any other individual who was alive in his day. I believe that's part of the reason why he called himself the chief of sinners. Because nobody else alive in his day had persecuted the church as much as he had. Now, that's my persuasion about the matter. The fact is, the Lord called it, in his word, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. Can you just imagine a man caught up to the third heaven and saw things that were unlawful for him to speak? That could get somebody lifted up after that. But Paul begged the Lord three times to remove that thorn. What'd the Lord say? Okay, it's done. I'm not trying to be flippant about the Word of God, but is that what he said? The Lord said, if you read it between the lines, the Lord said, no, I have a purpose for that thorn. It's going to do you more good staying there than if I take it out. He wasn't thinking. Now that, you know, that kind of goes along the lines of just needing to learn some more. I don't think he was being obstinate. I don't think he was being rebellious. I just think that was one of those things, one of those experiences that he had to learn from. And so, even though he begged the Lord, he besought the Lord thrice, he begged the Lord three times to remove the thorn, the Lord, in between the lines, the Lord says, no. But what he did say is, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That thorn causes you to remember something about your weakness and your need for me. And so the Lord said, no. Now, maybe in a little different way, but that's kind of some of that stinking thinking, isn't it? In the sense that we need to grow. We need to learn. We need to go through some of these things so that our thinking can be more in line with God's will for us in this life. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, Lord, if that's your will, here I am. Use me in whatever way would bring glory to your name. And Paul elaborates on that beyond that point. And he talks about how that he realized that he could even get to the point of glorying in these afflictions, that the power of Christ would rest upon him. Do you think, biblically speaking, do you think that your life would be blessed a little bit more if you could feel the power of Christ resting upon you in your affliction? The answer to that is yes. We would, if we could just feel like the Lord's with us. You know, isn't that what Moses said when they were traveling after they'd left Egypt and going along there, and the people had murmured and complained, And the Lord was telling Moses what he had for him to do. And Moses said, "Lord, if you're not going to go with us," I'm not quoting this exactly, but if you're not going to go with us, then don't, let's not go up. I don't want to go up if you're not going to be with us. Because he understood that principle that Paul related to us. If God be for us, who can be against us? And if we can feel like the Lord's with us, then if we feel like that we're in his will, then he'll take care of the circumstances, won't he? Doesn't mean it's going to be all rosy and fun. But if we've got the Lord with us, then nothing can come against us. So even Paul, perhaps it was in the sense of just needing to learn something, and we all need to learn more, don't we? We all need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We all need to experience more of the grace of God. We all need to experience more patience and deliverance from the Lord. We all need that. It's needful for us. It's not fun, but it's needful. And so even the Apostle Paul, experienced some times when his thinking was not perfectly aligned with the will of God. I think that should be a lesson to all of us. That no matter where we are in our Christian growth, there's still going to be times when we need to ask the Lord for his help and give us understanding to do his will. Because every now and then, this old flesh is going to rise up and pop out, and we're going to be thinking and maybe even talking according to the things that be of men instead of the things that are consistent with God's will. Now, I hope that's a big enough foundation. What can we do? Psalm 11, I believe it is, says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And when we look about us today and we see that our government is dysfunctional, our government's not doing what they should to honor God, it gives you that feeling of, well, what can we do? Well, what we can do is continue to be faithful to the one who's always faithful to us. So there's some things that he's taught us to do. And in the remaining minutes, let's talk about some of those things that we can do. How about pray? Pray. Prayer. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Availeth much. I'm glad he didn't say sometimes is answered. He said it availeth much. But he did say effectual, fervent prayer. Our prayers are not always effectual and fervent, are they? There are times when we need deeper devotion. There's times when we need deeper commitment. There's times when we need to realize our thinking doesn't smell too good. We need the Lord. We need his word. And we need to pray. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Prayer is oxygen to the soul. We need to spend time in prayer, feeding and strengthening the inner man. Because when the inner man is doing well, the outer man can do better. But when your inner man is weak, when your inner man is not thinking like it should, it's tough. It's tough. And if the inner man's not in good shape, then what comes out, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? So how we need prayer. The Lord, you know, I've never heard, to my knowledge, I've never heard the audible sound of the voice of God. But God has spoken to me many times by putting impressions upon my heart and in my mind, and quite often during times when I'm praying. And I'm learning. I won't say I've learned, but I'm learning that there's times when I need to pray for a while and then listen. Shut up and listen for those impressions, for the leadership of His Spirit. Maybe I've been praying about something and He's got something to tell me that's better than what I've been thinking. Maybe my thinking hasn't been like it should be. And the Spirit of the Lord can set that right. And so prayer is so, so needful. Jesus Himself. Now, Jesus didn't need anything. He knew all things. He had all power, both in heaven and in earth. And yet, as our example, Jesus spent time in prayer. And quite often, He would get up early in the day to do that. And I suspect that's because He could do that in privacy, because during the day there was oftentimes throngs of people all around Him, every one of them having their needs and wanting their needs fulfilled. And it amazes me the times that you can read through the Scriptures and you can find those places where it says He healed them all of their afflictions. Oh, and that's what I'm amazed sometimes when I read the Scriptures and I see the very power that Jesus had going, as He, you know, Peter said He went about doing good. Yeah, that's an understatement, isn't it? Yeah. When we understand that there could be a multitude of people and He could heal all of their diseases, whether it was by a touch, whether it was by a word, whether it was by a thought, whatever the case might be, He had the power to heal all of their afflictions. And there were people that wanted Him dead. Talk about stinking thinking. So we can pray. And we need to pray. And we need effectual, fervent praying, don't we? That's what we need. That's what we need. Prayer. And we need to believe God. Now, He gives us in the new birth, and with faith, He enables us to hear and believe His word. All right? And without the new birth, you will not, cannot, believe God. Philippians 1:29, I believe it is, it says, "Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for His name's sake." So it's given. The ability to believe Him is given in the new birth. But how many times have people been guilty of not believing God? I didn't say believing in God. That's one thing, isn't it? But to believe the word of God. To believe God. Have we ever been guilty of not believing Him like we should? I'm sure there's times that's been the case. Believe God. God, from the foundation of the world. Listen, this is the Scriptures. From the foundation, before the foundation of the world, He chose out a people. And He knows them individually. You know, He told Peter, Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:19, after there were some that was preaching that the resurrection had passed and had overthrown the faith of some, he said, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." Now, this is a foundation not going to be destroyed. Men can destroy some foundations like government and the family structure and those kinds of things. Men can do that. But they're not going to destroy the foundation of God. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." If He knows, and that was 2,000 years ago when He said that, if He knows all that are His, it's too late for you to add any more heirs to heaven. It's too late for you to add to any more that'll be saved eternally in heaven. There's plenty of saving as far as the time, timeless situation. There's plenty of saving needed to save ourselves from this untoward generation. And if you could encourage someone who has the Spirit of God in them to turn around and to seek his face and to change their ways, then that's wonderful. But those that will be in heaven were chosen of him before in Christ before the foundation of the world. And it's for those people that Jesus came into this world to save. He shall save his people from their sins, right? Now, you don't hear this everywhere. But bless your hearts, that's the word of God. That's God's will. And if our thinking is contrary to that, then we need to change the way we're thinking. Because that's his will. He's purposed to save a people. He chose them out in Christ. He sent his son to save them. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. You know what that tells me? He knew who they were before the foundation of the world. Jesus has saved them, and not one's going to be left behind because Jesus is coming back to gather us all up and take us home to be with him forever. That's the gospel. That's the truth of God's word. Oh, as we think about what we have, then can we not believe God? If he's blessed us to understand who he is and what he has done for us and how secure we are in him and nothing can ever separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, can we not believe him in other things? He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He didn't. Now, Jesus did say, in the world you shall have tribulation, so he didn't say we're not going to have trouble. He just said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And Hebrews goes on to say that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Believe God. That's something we can do if we're born of his Spirit. Believe him. You know, Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you ever felt the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you're one of his. All of this belongs to you. What a blessing. Believe God. Next thing I want to point out is trust him. Now, if you can't believe him, you can't trust him. You're not going to trust him if you're not believing him. Trust God. And belief and trust is awfully close together, isn't it? I believe. He has enabled me to believe him. So I will trust him. There's your commitment right there. Trusting. Trusting. Is he worthy of our trust? Is he capable of keeping his promises? Has he ever lied to you? Now Satan lies to you all the time. God has never lied. As a matter of fact, Moses pointed out to the people of Israel that not one thing God promised has ever failed. It's all come to pass, just like he said. And Joshua reminded the people the same thing. Do you think it's any different today? No. Everything that God has promised us is true and faithful. And if it hadn't come to pass yet, it will. Because Jesus hadn't come back. And I know that's one thing he promised. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, John 14, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Wow. For somebody like me, as sinful as I am, to be able to embrace such wonderful truths and to know that God has provided and accomplished what was needed for us to be with him forever in glory. Wow. That's powerful. Believe it. Trust it. Follow it. Follow it. We follow. You know, in Matthew 5, 44 and 45, where he's talking about pray for your enemies, love your enemies. Oh, preacher, why'd you have to go there? Love your enemies. Verse 45, he says, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Now, doing those things is not going to make you a child of God. But it will reveal, it will manifest to the world that you are a child of God, because the world's not going to do that. The world's not going to follow that. The world's not going to sign up for that class. God's people are taught to do that. And it's up to God's people to follow it. It's up to God's people to manifest that. It's up to God's people to let that light shine in this dark and often unfriendly world. That's something we can do in the midst of all that's going on around us. If we're believing and trusting and following, then we can stand. Isn't it time for God's people to stand for what's right? You know, Paul even told the Roman brethren, it's high time to awake to righteousness. It's high time. And I love what Elder Sonny Powell used to say about high time. It's just before it's too late. We can lose some things if we're not faithful to God, if we're not standing for the truth. We could lose some things. And we feel like there's some things that we're about to lose in this nation that may be slipping away from. Not that it's going to change anything about what we understand about God and our security in Him, but it sure might affect our life day to day. Israel was carried away into captivity when there was no remedy. Time after time, God had sent prophets and messages to His people, and they wouldn't hear. They wouldn't listen. And so when there was no remedy, they went into captivity. Now, they came out. Some of them came out. Some of them decided to stay where they were when the captivity was over. Bless your hearts, following Him, trusting Him, enabling us to stand. You know, Paul, writing about the armor of God, says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You know, to having done all to stand. And the lesson there is to put on the armor of God. His righteousness, His truth. Having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The shield of faith, holding it up. He's given us what we need. But He's also given us a sword. And that sword can defend you, or you can make some advance with it. And Jesus used that sword, didn't He, when He was being tempted of Satan? He quoted Scripture. Let me say that again. He quoted appropriate Scripture. Now, he knew it all. We don't know it all. That's why we have to keep studying. But I'm telling you, the Scriptures are thorough furnish. As a thorough furnisher, Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, says it's a thorough furnisher unto all good works. Is it important for us to maintain good works? Is it important for us to let our light shine? Is it important for us to be salt in the earth? Is it important for us to believe God, trust God, follow God, and take a stand for what's right? Yeah, it is. And it's high time that we as God's people, I'm going to say, do a better job of it. I'm thankful that the God's people are doing a good job of it, but we could do better. I say that because you go through the Scriptures and the Lord is always encouraging us to do more. To do more. Bear more fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Paul exhorted the brethren at Thessalonica that they might grow, and they were already loving one another, but he wanted them to grow more and more. And so, there are things we can do. There are things that God has given us, whether we happen to be in Babylonian captivity or whether we happen to be in Jerusalem. Whatever the case might be, it doesn't matter. We can be faithful to God wherever we are. You remember a man by the name of Daniel? He was faithful to God, and he was a captive in Babylon. But God blessed him. And he served under how many kings? Four or five kings. Served them faithfully. I mean, that man, we don't know just how much influence Daniel had over world affairs. Because kings oftentimes didn't want to be bothered with details. They'd put it in somebody else's hands. And Daniel had a great input on the affairs of that empire, which was the greatest empire on the face of the earth at that time. Would God bless us to have some influence? You ever heard of Jabez, the prayer of Jabez, back in 1 Chronicles? A man that seemed to be kind of obscure in the genealogy there, but the Spirit caused the writer to pause and tell us a little bit about that man. The prayer that he made. One part of that was to increase my coast, have a greater influence. Oh, that God would have bless us to have a greater influence, not for any glory to ourselves, but for His glory. My heart aches so many times with the world affairs the way they are, and with God being ignored, and His word being blasphemed at the highest levels of government around this globe. My heart aches that He's not being honored and glorified any more than He is. Well, that's good to feel that way, but what about your own personal life? How much are we honoring and glorifying Him in our own, in our sphere of influence? We've got things we can do. We can pray. We can believe. We can trust. We can follow. We can take a stand. And we need to be doing that. And really, that's a full-time job, isn't it? Can be a full-time job. And not that you can't do your other job along with it. You can do these things. And you can do those things with a Christian attitude and with a desire to please God. Because the inescapable principle is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And His righteousness. Don't leave that out. I hear that quoted these days, and that gets left out a lot of times. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Serve God. Trust Him. And leave the consequences to Him. Is He faithful? Is He able? Then what's our problem? We've got plenty we could do. What can we do? We can do a lot by the grace of God. May God bless you is our prayer.